The most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
On a Tuesday afternoon, welcome to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Farrar. Vince pinch hitting for John Wilkerson. Vince, how you doing?
Good, Jimmy. Enjoying some daytime hockey, basketball. It's great to have sports back in all the volume that we've got it. And during the day, it's even better. But good to be on with you. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Predators 2-0 over the Coyotes in the first period, so they've got the lead as they play. We will continue to update you throughout the day. You mentioned baseball. There was NBA last night. We've got a lot to cover in that regard. But first, we'll tell you that our guest today, we got Chris Doering with the SEC Network, is going to join us, a former Gator receiver. Won't hold that against him. Really like him. He's come to speak at the quarterback club, does a really good job. Rob Lewis, FallQuest.com, he joins us at 4:35. We'll talk Tennessee sports with him. Mike Keith, Tennessee Titans, he joins us from 5 to 6. We've got a lot to cover with the NFL and discussing it with him. And the PGA Championship is this week. We might run some comments from Justin Thomas, who became the third youngest in the last 60 years to get 13 wins on the PGA Tour with his win last week. One of the hottest players in golf right now. He's now ranked number one in the world. And so we might bring you some comments from him a little bit later in the show. We'll get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology that you need, people that you can trust. So we'll hit on what I think was the biggest news to come out, and that is the SEC is not going to have its traditional fall football camps. The SEC sent out a notice, first reported, I think, by Ross Dellinger with Sports Illustrated, who's been all over this. He's done a great job with that. So this Friday was going to be Tennessee's first day to work. A practice and do some stuff with pads? Can't do it. So the first day for practice is going to be August the 17th. Now, what is going to happen starting Friday? Well, Tennessee is going to continue with what they have been doing, which means and they have a 14-hour week. They can lift weights. They can have meetings. They can have a walkthrough without a football or without pads on for 45 to 60 minutes. So that's what they've been able to do. That's what they'll continue to be able to do until August the 17th. At that point, you can have your practices. You also will have a 20-hour rule. Vince, it used to be that during this time when you didn't have school, you had them for as many hours as you want. That is not the case now. And, of course, it makes sense with the COVID virus out there. And so the date of August 17th to the season opener, September 26th, that's 40 days. Each team is allowed 25 practices during that time frame. As far as a press conference with Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt, we thought it was going to be this week. It still might be, but they are not going to schedule. I think what they might do, and this kind of makes sense to me, they might wait until the SEC comes out with the football schedule, and then that would give Jeremy Pruitt something more tangible to talk about. So, what are your thoughts on the SEC altering that schedule?
Yeah, it makes sense. I kind of anticipated a little bit. I was wondering when you mentioned that Pruitt might have a meeting with the media and starting Friday, I thought that was a little bit odd that they would have that extra week as a lead up to the season, considering that they had pushed back the start of the season. So, you know, schools are going to be required to have two minimum days off for the athletes, the student athletes, during each week until the first week of the games. And then also they're going to have a five-day acclimatization period. So it's going to be 2 days in helmets only, 2 days in shells, and then the fifth day they'll be able to be in full pad. So that part of it is in place as well. And, you know, just like you said, strength and conditioning, meetings, walkthroughs, in a 14-hour total per week leading up to the start of the the practices on August 17th. So we don't know what kind of access we're going to get. Hopefully we'll find that out soon. You know, we don't know the limitations of it. And if it is limited to the media, then obviously the information for fans that they so often crave is going to be limited as well. So we'll do our best from what we're able to get.
All right, so the SEC with that coming out today. Also, the Big 12 announcing that they're going to go with 9 conference games plus 1, so they get to play 1 non-conference game. That gives them a total of 10 games a season. So they are the second conference to go with a conference games plus 1. The ACC has done that. The title game for the Big 12 will either be December the 12th or December the 19th. Conference-only games will be played by the SEC, of course, the Big 10, and the Pac-12. So it's interesting that these Power 5 teams, with all this discussion about how they're going to communicate and they're going to talk to each other and they're going to try to get on the same page and they're going to have the same safety protocols, not so much. So, anyway, so that's a look at the Power 5 conferences. Are you surprised at all at the Big 12's decision?
I'm not. It seemed like when the SEC didn't do their own plus one, which would have likely kept alive some of the 4 games that were set up between SEC and Big 12 schools, and it would have kept alive the 4 games that their universities had set up before ACC schools. Had the SEC played along, those 3 could have worked together, but it's the SEC that went a different route. So mm-hmm. I anticipated that the Big 12 would also want to get to 10 games. Yeah. And at least, Jimmy, when it wasn't intentional, I don't think, at least all of these conferences are ending up at the 10-game total. So yeah. I do like that. And the Big 12 doing a 9-plus-1 achieves that.
Did you notice a start date for the Big 12? I may have overlooked that.
I had it, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but I'll try to track that down. I don't recall it off the top of my head, but I'll grab that for you.
I didn't see it. I was just looking at some scrolls and didn't see it, so I just wonder if they have delayed. As we know, the Pac-12 is delayed till September the 26th, the same as the SEC. I don't know what the ACC and the Big 10 did as far as their start dates. I just wonder if those conferences might have more built-in open dates in case they have to hit the reset button.
Well, the ACC had put out a schedule, but they had to change it because the SEC decided to just do a plus one. Now, that was just their conference games. The Big Ten has not announced how they're doing it just yet, so there's still one that hasn't announced it. The Pac-12 announced theirs. So, yeah, that's I think we're still going to – and, look, the SEC hasn't completely announced – all of their games yet, even though we know what the start date will be.
Right. So, and we do expect the complete schedule to be released this week with the SEC. All right. Yeah. Another keynote, Seth Davis has ranked his preseason basketball poll. He waited until all the decisions were made about who's returning to school and who's staying in the NBA draft. He's got Tennessee ranked number 11 in the country, but number 1 in the SEC. He's got LSU at 13, Kentucky at 14. Kentucky had been number 7. His next 10 includes Arkansas, outside the top 25. His next 10 includes Arkansas and Alabama and Memphis. His number 1 team is Baylor. When's the last time we saw that in a preseason poll? Followed by Gonzaga, Villanova, Wisconsin, and Duke. Iowa comes in at number 6. Then Virginia, Creighton, Illinois, Kansas. So, Seth Davis says that the return of Eve Pons solidifies Tennessee as the favorite in the SEC. LSU had 3 players announced Monday they're returning. Javonte Smart, Darius Days, Trenton Watford. Boy, was that good news for LSU. They must have had a strong offer to these players to stay. Who knows? Emmett Williams is staying in the draft. He's one of the top rebounders, top inside player for LSU. Also, they have a freshman class that's ranked number 4 in the nation, and they get 2 transfers, including Shaquille O'Neal's son, Sharif O'Neal, transferring from UCLA. Kentucky lost 6'10 E.J. Montgomery to the draft, so they have now lost 5 starters. And according to Seth Davis, I thought this was interesting, Vince, he's skeptical that the NCAA will grant a waiver for Wake Forest transfer Olivier Sars to play right away. I wonder why he's skeptical. Is it only because it's taken a while? Or is I just wonder if something else is at play in this situation.
Yeah, that is interesting because it seemed like it was trending at one point towards, yeah, he was going to be granted that immediate eligibility. But I don't know what the hang-up there is. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. By the way, UCLA, which has had a rather interesting offseason, he likes them. He says they're capable of winning the Pac-12. They did lose two recruits. They lost one to the G League, and then they lost another one they thought they were going to get to Howard University. They returned their top scorer, and they got a Kentucky transfer who they think is going to be eligible right away, Johnny Juzang. So that's a look at UCLA. I bring that up because that's the program where Rick Barnes almost went to. All right, a few other notes out there. Baylor returns Jared Butler for his junior season. He withdrew his name from the draft. Rutgers football cases have jumped from 15 to 28, plus some staff members. Rutgers has already shut down their operation, but they announced their numbers. Vince, that's a heck of a jump going from 15 to 28 football players.
It is, and you wonder what's going on there. What's the reason for it? Is it breakdowns in their system and their safety protocol? Is it bad decisions? You know, why is it exploding like that? So they gotta figure that out because that's a Big Ten school and you don't just bounce back from that right away. We'll mm-hmm. see what they do with it, but that is concerning.
The majority of players at Idaho, according to Brett McMurphy of the Stadium, don't want to play football this fall. 9 have tested positive, 24 in quarantine. A quote from a player. We've been neglected by the NCAA in terms of wealth over health. So they don't want to play, the majority of them, according to Brett McMurphy, an outstanding reporter with the Stadium. Oklahoma's athletic director said he expects Oklahoma and Texas to be played in October in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. Texas has certainly been a hot spot, but by then, who knows what the situation will be. We also jumping around with some notes. The Power 5 scheduling, I thought this was interesting, could have an impact on bowl games. Now, some people don't think there'll be nearly as many bowl games as projected, which is 42, but the executive director of the bowls said that there'll be a lot of deserving teams that will have a losing record, therefore not be qualified to play in bowl games, and we'll see. First of all, they weren't going to have enough teams with a winning record to satisfy the 42 bowls that they were going to have. And now when you're playing 10 conference games, you're assured that there are going to be a lot more teams that are not going to be eligible to make it to a bowl game, in my opinion, because a lot of teams would have a losing record in their conference and then win 3 or 4 non-conference games and then be 500 or better. Well, that's not going to be the case now. So that could have a huge impact on bowl games. And then I would just hate this thought. I would hate the thought of watching – a bowl game pitting 2, 4, and 6 teams.
I don't know. It depends on who those 4 and 6 teams are. If it's 4 and 6 South Carolina against, I don't know, 4 and 6 TCU. I'm not gonna. If that's football on my TV and there's nothing else going on at that time, I'm gonna watch that. I don't – yes, that you should have – it should be a reward for you. But, I mean, I think that would draw ratings and people would still watch something like that. If it's 2 group of fives that are 4 and 6 that a lot of people don't have any sort of connection to, maybe that's different. But I don't know, Jimmy. These rules are going to have to be adjusted. Yes, the Power Fives are all playing 10 games, but the group of five, some of them, the Sun Belt's going to try to play all 12. Even within that conference, maybe you don't play 12. Some are only going to play 8 conference games. So it's going to be all over the place. They can't have just the same rule. And that's just the plan. We don't even know how it's going to end up. So they're going to have to adjust some of those rules. And it wouldn't surprise me if there are some below 500 teams, more than usual even, that end up in those bowls.
Well, you can go ahead and watch South Carolina and TCU, and I'll mow the yard.
Hey, I think that's advantage Ferrara. That doesn't happen very often, but I think I win that one. So.
Well, you can mow my yard, and I'll watch it. The Sun Belt is going to play 8 conference games plus up to 4. They also are planning to start on Labor Day weekend, which I think is optimistic, but we'll see if they can get that done. A Minnesota wide receiver, Rashad Bateman, is the second player that I'm aware of that's a potential first-round draft pick that has opted out of college. He is going to prepare for the NFL draft. He's a potential first-rounder. He is an excellent player for Minnesota. I thought one of the best receivers in the country that went unnoticed, but now he's out. He is not going to play for Minnesota. I thought this was an interesting – oh, I meant to get to this. I know there are a lot of Braves fans. The Braves dealt a tough blow. Pitcher Mike Soroka out for the season, a torn right Achilles. He was 13-4 last year with a 2.68 ERA. Man, in a short season like this, Vince, that has got to damage the Braves' chances of being a playoff team.
Yeah, absolutely, because their starting rotation was also behind Freed, and Soroka was already getting pretty young. They don't have Cole Hamels available, so they were already having to be young in their rotation. Now they're having to go into their system even more to try to find someone to fill out the back end of the rotation. And now even, you know, starting in that one or two spot in the rotation. So it's devastating because he's one of the better pitchers in the National League and in baseball. Just a huge, devastating blow for the Braves. We'll see what they do in terms of trades and all that, but it's tough right now.
All right, just a couple other notes before we get a break. Derek Jeter said that the Marlins were not carousing around, going to parties and all that kind of stuff, going to bars. He said that they simply relaxed. They got a little bit complacent. They didn't practice social distancing. They weren't wearing their masks. And so he countered some reports that the Marlins players were out there partying in Atlanta when they had a couple of exhibition games. And the Yankees are off to an 8-1 start. That matches the best start in the franchise's history. Gerrit Cole is 3-0. And the Cubs are 8-2. They've got the best record in the National League. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about the NBA and Zion Williamson. We got a note about that we want to discuss. We also have a comment from Cam Jordan of the New Orleans Saints, who's going to fire up Tampa Bay. And we've also got an interesting quote from Aaron Rodgers about Green Bay. All of that coming your way when we come back. And if you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
You ever notice how stations that promote less talk never actually say anything worth hearing in the first place? We talk sports all the time. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Preds lead the Coyotes 2-0 after the first period. All right. I thought this was pretty interesting. Don't know what all led him to do this, but, Vince, I don't know if you saw what New Orleans Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan said, but he was talking about Tampa Bay. He said they've got the second greatest quarterback of all time behind Drew Brees, and now we play them head-to-head 2 times. I'm semi-paraphrasing. We've got our work cut out for us. They've added Gronkowski, and they've added LeSean McCoy, and they got 2 1,000-yard receivers. This is a team that is fighting for second place. Ooh, okay. Jeff Saturday, when asked about this, interjected and said, no. Peyton Manning's the best quarterback. Drew Brees is second. Brady's third. So he's knocked Brady all the way down to third. I'm not sure if I'm Jordan if I want to give Tampa Bay that kind of bulletin board material.
No, because he does come from the same mindset as Bill Belichick, to where do they need an edge? Are they good enough to win without an edge? Absolutely. But they will latch on to anything they can that won't help them necessarily during games, but boy, those kind of things, Jimmy, are motivation to get you through tough practices and times where things get monotonous, you can lean on those kind of things to get the juices going with your teammates. And if you fight through those down practice times, you can be better on game day. So it seems silly to latch on to something like that, but the Bradys, the Belichicks, and a lot of people do. So Cam Jordan's an outspoken guy. I really like him. Obviously, he's been so tremendous for that Saints team, and he's generally a great leader. But I don't know that I would have gone down that route. I know he wants to defend his guy, but not sure that that accomplishes a whole lot to come out and say that about Brady.
Yeah, and I'd say this. If you had five Super Bowls in your back pocket, okay, you can chirp a little bit more. Saints have not won a Super Bowl with Jordan on their roster, if I recall correctly. So I will say this. It makes those New Orleans-Tampa Bay games that much more interesting, and I thought they were interesting anyway. But that adds a little bit more spice to that rivalry.
Exactly right. And who knows? You know, Rob Gronkowski, he loves to chirp on the field. So don't be surprised if you see Gronkowski and Jordan, whether it's at the line of scrimmage or walking back to their huddles, getting after each other as well on the field.
Yep, good point. All right, let's go to the phones where Jim is our next caller. Jim, you're on Sports Talk.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Jim.
Well, let's see. 4-6. 4-6. Am I going to watch that kind of game?
You'll watch it with Vince.
Well, I'll give you my answer. I grew up, and Jimmy, you know this from conversations over the years, that I think our bowl system has just evolved into ridiculousness, because I grew up, as you did, in an era where bowl games were rewards for good or outstanding seasons. Right?
Yes.
That's the era you grew up in. But little by little, bowl games were added and added and added until we get to this number where they had to have, you could qualify for a 6-6 team. Now, 6-6 teams in the old days, of course, you couldn't play in bowl games then. So I passed ridiculous many years ago in terms of watching bowl games that I never thought I would have watched. And so I'm just going to say I would probably watch 2-4-6 teams, depending on who they were, because it's just one more drop of ridiculousness in a flood. It really doesn't matter anymore what the records are.
Well, I'll say this, and I think there was a key phrase that was used by Vince: if there's nothing else on. So I'll acquiesce to that one.
Isn't that what bowl season's for?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I hope my grass has stopped growing in December.
Well, I thought about that. You never know in the South.
Hey, here's another thing, guys. If we get to the point of complaining about 4-6 teams in the bowl game, that would mean we made it through the college football season, and therefore we should all not complain, at least for one season, save it till next year.
That is a fair comment.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I, you know, for years I argued how ridiculous it's become, and it is kind of silly, but it is what it is. And so, depending if it's an SEC team, I'll probably watch it or have it on or watch a little anyway. So, anyway, well, Vince, you got a good point there. If we get to that point, I'll be satisfied.
Well, if I got a bet with Tyler Ivins, then I might watch it too.
See,
he bet on the
see
coin
how this
toss.
Is. See how this 4-6 matchup is getting more and more intriguing? We haven't even got out in the first hour. Imagine by the time we get to it. So
well, and then we can watch it to see if Will Muschamp's going to keep his job.
There you go.
We're having all kind of reasons to watch this game.
They could be job savers. Right?
That's right.
You know? Well, guys, I know you're up against the break. Have a good afternoon, guys.
Appreciate it. You too. Thank you, Jim. When we come back, we're going to discuss something that Aaron Rodgers said that I thought was pretty interesting. And we got a couple of notes from the NBA that are intriguing as well. We'll touch on that when we come back with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
53 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. To join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. So we talked about what Cam Jordan of the Saints said. Here's what Aaron Rodgers of Green Bay said. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase this, but you'll get the gist of it. If I retire on the team's terms, then everything will be okay. If Green Bay looks to move on before I'm ready to quit playing, then comes an impasse. So, last year, and what I continue to hear ESPN reporters say was a down year for Aaron Rodgers, he threw for 4,002 yards with 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. The team was 13-3 and played for the NFC Championship. So that's a pretty good off year for Aaron Rodgers. What do you make of Rodgers' comments?
Well, it continues to be on a different wavelength than what we hear from Matt LaFleur. And, you know, I agree with them. If the Packers are ready to move on, then, you know, before he's ready to retire, then it's not going to be a good ending. Then they're going to try to get something for him. If not, then if Rodgers is ready to step down, then he'll make it easy for them. So I don't disagree with him from that standpoint. But he's realistic with this situation, Jimmy. When you take a quarterback that – you know, that early in the draft and you don't address team needs, it tells you what you need to know, that they want to move on. They don't want to be a quarterback dominant system there. They want the offense to run as a whole and not be so dependent on a single player. That's the style that they're looking to move to. And, you know, just won't necessarily fit with Aaron Rodgers' style, but I agree with you. I think the criticism for him was too harsh, and I think that he will have a good year this year despite not having the weapons. That'll hold him back some, but it's not like Phillip Rivers. So I think he's hit his age wall, and I don't think he gets it back with the Colts. I think that's different with Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely. And didn't Rivers throw at least 20 interceptions, and he threw a whole bunch of them in the red zone last year?
With a better group overall of receivers with the Chargers than what Green Bay has. Now, Devontae Adams is elite, but after that, then it's a lot more inconsistent in Green Bay.
And I think Green Bay's nuts to try to move on from Rodgers right now. I do. I think he's got too much left in the tank. And I still say this, and I think we're on a different page here, but I still say if Jordan Love is not what Green Bay thought they were getting, if he looks like he's Josh Rosen or Jamarcus Russell or Blaine Gabbert, they're not moving on from Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they can afford to in terms of production. So I'm not convinced they will. Is it pointing that direction? Absolutely. But I still think it depends on the progress that they see out of Jordan Love. For example, Kansas City saw a heck of a lot of progress out of Pat Mahomes the year he didn't play, when Alex Smith was there, and then they said, okay, we're ready to move on because this guy is showing signs of being a really good to great quarterback, and he has been. Lamar Jackson the same way with the Ravens. I just think Love has to show that he is worthy of that first-round status before Green Bay moves on. But you see that differently, don't you, from our discussions?
Well, it points towards them wanting to replace him, but they still have an out and they have a time to change that. But I think when you do draft a quarterback, that's the I mean, people talk about the comparison to Rodgers and Favre. It's not the same thing. Aaron Rodgers isn't talking about retirement every year, so
he's still got
plenty, so it's a much different situation, and I don't think he's on his last leg. So for you to not address needs and draft your next quarterback, those are signs towards the intention of moving on. Or maybe they feel like this is a way to put some pressure or humble Rodgers and to, you know, following along and not being as the alpha that he typically is. I don't know, but they still have time to change that, no doubt. If he looks terrible in practice and they want to get something for him, if Rodgers has a big year, sure, they can still alter those plans. But I still think they drafted him with the plan that in the not-too-distant future they are going to move on.
Oh, I have no doubt they drafted him with the plan. But the plan was for Blaine Gabbert to be pretty good, and the plan was for Jamarcus Russell and Josh Rosen to be good. I'm just saying, if he does not live up to what they hoped he would be, I don't think they'll move as quickly as the plan suggested.
So here's the key, Jimmy. Does he get on the field? Or does Roger get hurt for a couple of games and he gets on the field? Do they at least get to evaluate him in actual games versus practices? Because then you might be able to make a better decision on him if that happens.
Yeah, a good point. Kind of like Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe. Bledsoe gets hurt, Brady comes in. And how about Prescott and Tony Romo?
Yeah.
That was another factor. Romo gets hurt. Dak comes in. Looks really good. Okay, this is where we're going. So
right. Well, that's a scenario where the starter never gets his gig back. So.
Right. That's right. And if Rodgers gets hurt and Love comes in and plays well, then that might be the sign for Green Bay. So,
but if he doesn't, then you can go the other way. So, sorry.
Yes. All right, a couple NBA notes. So Zion Williamson played. He played 25 minutes. The guy must have been exhausted. He's only been averaging like 14. He got 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and oh, guess what? He played in the fourth quarter, and the Pelicans beat Memphis. And I thought it was a game they had to have if they wanted to try to get into the whatever that silly playoff situation is. So now the Pelicans are 2.5 games behind Memphis. Ja Morant, who's going to be the rookie of the year, and I think he should be, awful game. 11 points, 1 of 10 on threes, as New Orleans won 109-99. Philadelphia gets a win over the Spurs last night. Tobias Harris had 25 points. Josh Richardson had 19 points. The Lakers have clinched the number one seed in the West. Anthony Davis, LeBron James combined for over 60 points. And when they do that, the Lakers are 12-0. Davis ended up with 42 points in that game. And also, the NBA's got a new virus rule. So they're trying to allow for a faster return on an inconclusive test. It had been that you had to wait 48 hours before you could return on an inconclusive test. Now it's going to be 24 hours after that test. So what you do is you test right away after the inconclusive test, and then if that's negative, and then if you have a negative test for tip-off, you get to play. So they're trying to expedite that a little bit. Also, co-coaches of the year. And now this stuff's already been voted on for the NBA honors. What's happening now has no impact on Rookie of the Year, MVP, Coach of the Year, whatever. Co-Coach of the Year, Mike Budenholzer from Milwaukee, Billy Donovan from the Thunder. And one vote shy of that tie was Nick Nurse of Toronto. A really close vote. This is voted on by the 30 NBA head coaches. Did you have one that you favored over the other out of the threesome?
No, I thought they were all in the mix. You know, Budenholzer makes perfect sense for me. Nick Nurse is what they've done in Toronto since losing Kawhi Leonard. I think all those were very worthy.
Yeah. Also, a couple of other notes. Give the NHL credit. Zero positive tests. They've conducted over 7,000 tests since July the 26th. And they've been in a bubble in two different Canadian cities. So the NHL has done a really good job in that regard. All right, as far as golf, the PGA Championship this Thursday at Harding Park in San Francisco, Tiger Woods is trying to become the first player to win a major in four different decades. Brooks Koepka, the two-time defending champion, is the favorite. Now, I know there are different odds out there, but the one I saw, Koepka was a 10-1 favorite, Justin Thomas 11-1, John Rahm right there at 11-1 also. The last 6 years, the PGA winner has had odds of winning it at 20-1 or less, which is a pretty good projection. That's rare in terms of golf majors, unless Tiger Woods was in his prime, which he is not. So I thought that was another interesting note as well in regard to the PGA. So it should be fun to watch. It's the first major. It's the first major we've had in a long time. So, and we'll certainly highlight that on Golf Talk next Monday when we have Braxton Hunter on. So you want to make sure you tune in from 7 to 8 to hear that conversation. All right, when we come back, we will have more. We've got a coach in the NFL that made an interesting comment that could be interpreted several different ways. So we'll discuss that when we return. You also can join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
The runaway number one in East Tennessee for sports. We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Farrar. The Preds up 3-0, second period. It's a best of five. The Coyotes lead that series 1-0. All right, as far as Washington defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio about players opting out, quote, "I have views that wouldn't sit well with my occupation," close quote. So what does that mean? Does that mean he would be critical of players for sitting out? Or does that mean he supports the players, therefore drawing the ire of the coaching profession?
I can tell you, I can answer that. I've seen him be outspoken. He basically doesn't believe that it's very political for him, so he doesn't really believe the coronavirus is what a lot of us see as the reality. So that's what it is. So.
Yeah, well, then it probably is good he doesn't say anything. So,
and he made that decision. So,
So, all right. The New Orleans Saints, they have created a bubble. They have rented a number of motel rooms in the New Orleans area for players or staff. This is optional. They've got rooms for up to 150 people that can stay there if they want to be in a, quote, bubble. I have no idea how many have said yes to this. I think it's an interesting approach by New Orleans. I don't know of any other teams that are doing that. I think that in two or three weeks down the road, if the Saints have no positives and other NFL teams are still having them, then you're going to say, well, that's a good decision by New Orleans. But I think it's interesting. And, Vince, I do wonder if other teams out there in the NFL might copycat what New Orleans is doing.
Yeah, here's the key, and I haven't heard an answer to this, and I've heard some NFL reporters that cover it nationally that don't have an answer to it. Does this fly with the CBA or the rules for players? Like, can these NFL teams mandate their players to go into these sequester situations? Is that something that they can tell them, or is this just on a volunteer basis and they can only do that part of it?
Well, as I mentioned, New Orleans said it's optional. Optional.
Right.
All right. So
right.
You're talking about other teams maybe trying to force it?
Yeah, but if everyone else is like, hey, that's a great idea, then they're still going to be limited from, it would appear, to a voluntary basis. So how effective will that be if it's just voluntary? I'm sure the NFL would love to say, if it was to work, they would say, hey, here's what we need to do to be safe. But if you can't force them to do it, it still limits the kind of impact that it could have if you don't have widespread participation. Because how many people are saying, if you're not in a bubble, it's not going to work? So if it's voluntary and you're not getting full participation, then you're not going to have the full effectiveness.
Wide receiver Allen Hurns of Miami is opted out. Now, I don't know what that number looks like right now. According to what I've got it at 46. It's at least 46 that are now opted out. But there could have been more that I have missed overnight or before the show started. So Allen Hurns is out. And as far as the U.S. Open tennis is concerned, they're still on to play in New York without fans. That's going to be August 31, I believe, is the first day of that tournament. Rafael Nadal has withdrawn. He is out. Hmm. the field is not going to be as strong. Nick Kyrgios is also withdrawn. I think there will be a number of players from foreign countries that will withdraw. And I don't think Novak Djokovic has made a declaration yet. He's ranked number one in the world. He's had the virus. He has since, of course, recovered from that. But he's one that acknowledged that he didn't take the virus seriously enough, and then he got it. But I don't know. And he also has been anti-vaccination. So, of course, we don't have a vaccine for it, but I don't know what his thoughts are in regard to that. I think I'm right about this, which is kind of a dubious distinction for the United States. I don't think an American has won a major since Andy Roddick won the U.S. Open in 2003. That's off the top of my head. I meant to look that up for it, but I think that's right. So maybe this gives somebody a chance. It's an American. Maybe if the best players in the world pull out, maybe an American will sneak in there and win the dadgum thing. But it's been a long time since there was a player from the USA on the men's side to win a major. And I do expect a number of other players to opt out from the U.S. Open tennis tournament.
So you could very well have the asterisk discussion for that in tennis as well.
Yes, you could. You certainly could. That may evolve into that. And I did see, though, there's a women's tournament coming up, and I did see where Serena Williams is playing in that. We've seen some team tennis stuff. In fact, a buddy of mine went to Greenbrier to watch one of the team tennis events over the weekend, and I actually stumbled on it and watched some of that over the weekend and enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of excitement. You got subs that you can put in this particular match. The two women on one team were playing, and they subbed in Sloane Stephens to try to clinch the deal late. And she came in and did a good job, but they were not able to win it. So I just thought it was interesting, the premise, and it's a lot, to me, it's a lot of fun to watch. So anyway. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Chris Doering. Chris Doering with the SEC Network does a very good job with them. We got to know him as he came to speak at the Knoxville Quarterback Club, so we look forward to him joining us when we return to talk about the SEC and get his take on what's going on with college football. Also, a little bit later, at 4:35, Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com, will be joining us. And then we'll have Mike Keith of the Tennessee Titans. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour to talk a lot about the NFL. So we look forward to those guests joining us later in the show. And, of course, we still have more notes about the NFL, about Major League Baseball, and about the NBA. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.